dear God. Please help everyone's ears to be attentive to the message and for us to learn what you would have us to learn this morning and to receive the truth as it's presented from God's Word. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now we live in a day where everything wants to be personalized and customized. People want things to be made in such a way as to suit them personally. You know, I think of Burger King's motto, have it your way. Now, the problem with that is that that has spilled over into our Christian lives and into Christianity and into churches, where we have a philosophy that Christianity and the Bible and God Himself can be personalized to fit us. Now, instead of believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, we've come to a point where salvation is called having a personal relationship with Jesus. Who's ever heard that phrase before? A personal relationship with Jesus. Instead of faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, instead of salvation by grace through faith, instead of believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, salvation is supposedly attained by having a personal relationship with Jesus. So it's no longer what you believe that saves you, which is what the Bible says what saves you, is what you believe, your faith. Now it's just, as long as you're sincere and you have your own little personalized, your way, relationship with Jesus, that somehow equals salvation. Now unfortunately, that's not the case at all. You see, the word personal is never found in the Bible one time. And the word relationship is never found in the Bible one time. Yet we hear these terms again and again, as if there's some kind of a core tenet of the faith. Now, we here at Faithful Word Baptist Church don't speak in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now look down at your Bible. You see in Genesis chapter 4 where we began reading, look down if you would at this story. You see, the liberals and the modernists of our day, they've gone in the way of Cain by believing that salvation is a personal relationship with Jesus. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, and in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth. Wroth means angry, like you think of wrath. Cain was very wroth. I lost my place here. And his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? You see, it wasn't that God was playing favorites between Cain and Abel. God isn't a personalized kind of God. God's not a respecter of persons. God said, Cain, if you'll bring the offering that I require, I'll accept you. Abel has brought the correct offering, therefore he's respected and accepted. I don't respect you, Cain, and I don't accept you, Cain, is what God is saying. Now, doesn't it seem like Cain is trying to do what's right here? I mean, he is bringing an offering to the Lord, isn't he? I mean, he's not saying to God, I don't care about you. I don't want anything to do with you. I mean, Cain is legitimately bringing an offering to the Lord. I mean, he went out and he worked and sweated and toiled in the thorns that we saw in Genesis chapter 3 that God had cursed the earth with. And he was out working by the sweat of his brow, tilling the ground. I mean, farming is hard work. Making things grow out of the ground is very difficult, hard work. And he slaved and worked by the blood and sweat and tears of slaving over a farm. He brought the very best that he had to offer. The best fruits, the best vegetables. And he said, God, I'm going to offer these to you. Will you accept my offering? And God says, no. Now, does that surprise you? Well, it could be a little bit surprising, but flip over, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11 in your Bible, toward the end of your Bible. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. This is in the New Testament, right toward the very end of the Bible, the book of Hebrews, just a few books before Revelation. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4. The Bible reads in Hebrews 11, 4, by faith, Hebrews 11, 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now, how could Abel offer God an offering by faith? Now, of course, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In order to have faith, you must hear God's Word, and then believe what God has said. That's what faith is. You can't, I mean, you could have faith in something else, but in order to have faith in God, you must hear the Word of God and believe the Word of God. That's faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. And so in order for Abel to have offered his sacrifice of a lamb by faith, God must have told him, God must have spoken to him, and told him that that was what was to be offered. And then he responded in faith and said, I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. If God says to bring a lamb and offer it, that's what I'm going to offer. Now, Cain didn't understand that because Cain said, I'm not into sheep. I don't like lambs. I'm just not a butcher by nature. I love all of God's creatures, and I wouldn't want to hurt a lamb. I'm just kidding, but whatever it is. But he had some other idea where he said, I'm going to bring my best, and my best is just going to have to be good enough for God. Hey, I'm sorry, but your best is not good enough for God, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so that lamb, although Cain did not understand this perhaps he did, that lamb represented the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. That lamb wasn't just simply a lamb. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 10, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. The Old Testament sacrifices could not take away sins. That lamb was just a shadow of things to come. That lamb was a picture of Jesus Christ. And when Abel shed the blood of that lamb, he was picturing Jesus Christ's blood that would one day be shed for the sins of mankind. You see, our good works are not good enough to get us to heaven. Our best offering that we could offer to God is not good enough. Our personal best, our personal idea of what salvation is, our personal sincerity, our personal relationship, as it were, will not get us to heaven. The only thing that will get us to heaven is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. You see, there's no salvation outside the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no salvation in an offering of fruits and vegetables that you earned. No, the only salvation is found in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And when Abel offered that offering, he was showing his faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He believed what God had spoken to him about the gospel, about Jesus, about salvation. The gospel was preached to him. He believed it. Therefore, by faith, he offered the offering that God asked for as a picture of that. Cain resisted that. And he said, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to have it my way. I want my own personal religion, my own personal salvation, my own personal Savior. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you believe that salvation is by living a good life, you are your own Lord and Savior. Because you think you're earning your own salvation. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. You see, I know for sure 100% right now that I'm going to heaven, but it's not because I have anything good. It's not because of my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. You see, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And this whole thing of, well, I'm going to heaven because I'm going to repent of my sins. It's garbage. It's not found in the Bible. The phrase, repent of your sins, is not found in the Bible. Look, I haven't repented of all my sins. I guess I'm not saved. If you have to repent of all your sins to go to heaven, then nobody's saved. Are you perfect? Are you Jesus? The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. If I'm going to heaven, it's going to have to be by the blood of Jesus Christ, and it is by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I know, I am confident and willing, we're always confident, we're always willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Because the Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may know that you have eternal life. See, it's written to those of you that believe, that you may know that you have eternal life. But you see, Cain had his own ideas about it, didn't he? Cain had his own method. And God said afterward of everyone who would preach works salvation, living a good life to go to heaven, being baptized to get to heaven, going to church to get to heaven, turning from your sins to get to heaven, He called them, He said, you've gone on the way of Cain. You're like Cain, because he was the first one who rejected the plan of salvation in the Bible. He was the first one who rejected the offering of Jesus Christ as the payment for his sins, was Cain. But not only that, that's salvation, that's one issue. People want this personal relationship with Jesus. But not only that, you know, and that's not salvation, I'm sorry. You say, well, I get up every morning and I talk to God and I read a little devotional book and I fellowship with God. That doesn't mean that you're saved. If you think you're going to heaven because of your good works, you can talk to God all day long. God's going to send you to hell. Because the only way to be saved is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God said, if you believe with all thine heart, thou mayest. That means you must put all of your faith on Jesus. You can't be, well, I'm Christian and Buddhist. You're going to hell. You must believe on Jesus Christ with all your heart in order to be saved. You can't say, well, I believe on Jesus Christ, but I'm also living a good life, and so I think I'm earning my way to heaven. Wrong. Once you believe on Jesus Christ, you're saved eternally. Eternal life. Jesus said, I give unto them everlasting life, and no man shall pluck them out of life. It lasts forever, salvation. One time you need to be saved. One time you're born into the family of God, and you're eternally saved forever, regardless of your own personal walk with God. Now, should we personally walk with God personally? Yeah, we should. Should we love God and read the Bible and pray? Right, but that's not going to get you to heaven. Should Cain till the ground and produce fruits and vegetables? Absolutely. Is there anything wrong with being a farmer? Absolutely. But when you start putting that as your way to heaven, it becomes evil. It becomes wrong. And all your good works, when you start making them your way to heaven, that becomes sin to you. Now, look down if you would. Turn if you would to James chapter 1. You're in Hebrews, so this is just a few pages to the right in your Bible. Look at James chapter number 1. So number 1, salvation is, it's by Jesus Christ. It's not your little personal relationship with Jesus. You see, God doesn't deal with people personally or respect your person. Well, he deals with Cain a little bit different than Abel. No, God deals with everyone on an equal playing field. Tell me what's personal about this word, whosoever. That doesn't sound very personal. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved no matter who you are. Doesn't matter who you are. God doesn't look at it on a person-to-person basis and decide whether you're worthy of heaven. If you believe, you are. If you don't, you're not. That's that simple. And so having a relationship with God can't get you to heaven. It's your faith on Jesus Christ as your only way to heaven. That's salvation. But not only that, not only is it in regard to salvation, but people also want church. They want church to be personalized to them, to fit their needs. They want church to be geared toward them and to be molded and fashioned in such a way as to please them. Let me break it to you. Faithful Word Baptist Church does not exist to serve you. Faithful Word Baptist Church does not exist to please you. This sermon this morning is not designed to make you feel happy. It's not designed so that when you walk out the door, you'll be smiling or happy or friendly. It's designed in such a way that God will be pleased with the words that come across this pulpit because the Bible will be preached the way that God wants it to be preached. You don't like it? The door swings both ways. And that's our policy here. Why? Because we're not here to please man. Do I now please man, Paul said? He said, then should I not be the servant of Jesus Christ? He said, you can't please man and Jesus at the same time. You please Jesus Christ, and then there will be others who want to please Jesus Christ and want to learn the Bible. They'll come to church here, and others can go down to the worship center and the fun center and the life center and the community church and go have party time and go have a rock band and go have the feel-good service. Not here. Nothing personal about Faithful Word Baptist Church. This is the way that God wants it everywhere. That's the way we do it here. And so we're not going to personalize to you. We're not going to be customized to suit you. We're not sending around a questionnaire asking you what kind of music you like. I don't care what kind of music you like. I don't care if you like country western. We're not going to listen to that garbage in here. I don't care if you like hip-hop and rap music and Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg and all that. We're not going to listen to that kind of garbage, worldly trash. I don't care whether you like rock music and heavy metal. You say, well, the teenagers like it. Hey, the teenagers can start to like this music. This is what teenagers ought to like. Huh? The same music is good for kids, for teenagers, for adults. It's called Psalms and Hymns and Spiritual Songs. I think I read about it in Ephesians 5:18 when God said, this is the music that you'll be singing. Music that's about Jesus Christ. Music that brings honor and glory to God. Music that's not conformed to the world. It doesn't sound like the world, but it sounds like God's people's kind of music, church kind of music. That's the kind of music that we're going to have here. We're not going to ask you what you like as far as preaching. No, I'm going to preach the Bible, and I'm going to preach it the way that God said to preach it. God said, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, smite with thy hand, stomp with thy foot. Hey, that's what the Bible says. Read it sometime, and you'll see that that's true. You'll see that Jesus called a spade. He called sin, sin. He called the religious leaders of his day on the carpet, and he called the Pharisees and the Sadducees on the carpet, my friend. Why? Why? Because he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. That's why. And every preacher that's ever lived has been persecuted that was following Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if they called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? He said, they think that I'm the devil. They nailed me to the cross. They killed me. And he says, what are they going to do to you? But he says, fear them not, therefore. He says, hold thou fast to the end, and that no man take thy crown. And not only that, not only do they want to personalize, and by the way, why would we personalize church to you and personalize the Bible to you and personalize God to you? Shouldn't you start changing to line up more with what God is like? And shouldn't you change to where you line up more like with what the Bible's like? Instead of trying to change your church and change your God and change your Bible to fit you? I don't want to change the Bible to fit me. I want to let God change me so that I fit the Bible. That's my goal. And that's where you say, why are there all these modern Bible versions? Why are there 412 English Bible versions? I'll tell you why. People want to change the Bible to fit them. And so now we have all these different Bibles for all different kinds of people. Walk into the so-called Christian Balaamite bookstore. Walk in there and ask them and say, what Bible version should I use? What kind of Bible should I get? Do you think that they'll just spout off an answer? The NIV, the King James, the New American Standard. No, this is what they'll ask. Well, what kind of a person are you? Right? I mean, they don't just... Do you think that they just recommend one? Well, they sell 30. They must not be recommending one. Well, what kind of a person are you? What do you like? How smart are you? How dumb are you? What do you like? Are you kind of a soft guy, you know? Are you kind of a limp-wristed, queer little sissy? What would you like to read? Or, what do you like? They're going to ask you what you like. What in the world does it matter what you like when we're talking about the Word of God? And so we have a Bible for teenagers, a special teen extreme Bible. And then we have a Bible version that's for the elderly. I guess that's the King James Bible. I guess I'm going old before my time. Then we have a special version for Catholics. The Jehovah's False Witnesses have made their own special little version to teach what they want to teach. We have the Living Bible, the Message, the Amplified Version. Man, what do they do? Put it in all caps? That's how it's going to have. Is it real big print and all kinds, really loud? They use really bright colors or something? The Amplified Version. We have Good News for Modern Man. The NIV. The New NIV. The Kids NIV. New version that just came out, I've noticed. The Kids NIV. The NIV 2000. The fifth edition of the NIV. The RSV. The HIV. The NAS. The NRSV. The NLTV. The M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E, the A-B-C-D-E-F-G, all these different Bible versions. Why? Because people want to personalize the Bible to suit them. Why don't we personalize you to the Bible for a while? Why don't I personalize myself to the King James Bible for a while, huh? I don't want to change the Bible to suit me. I want to suit the only Bible that God gave us, which is the real Bible, which is the King James Bible. Glory to God. You know, these new Bibles, you say whatever you want about being King James only, but I'll tell you something right now. There's 15 verses in the New Testament that aren't even in any Bible except the King James Bible. You need to look them up. Acts 8:37. Look it up in your Bible, in your NIV, in your HIV. It goes Acts 8, 35, 36, 38. They can't even count right. It goes 35, 36, 38. 15 other places. John 5:4, gone. 1 John 5:7, gone. Acts 8:37, gone. On and on, 15 times. But it'll probably really suit you. It'll make you feel good. But does that make it the Bible? Oh, you say, well, the NIV is easier to read. Hey, I got a book in my house. It's called Dr. Seuss Hop on Pop. It's really easy to read. Why don't you read that and call it a Bible? Why don't you bring that to church under your arm, huh? I'll get you a leather case for it. You can bring Dr. Seuss's Hop on Pop and say, Dad had bad sad. Dad had a bad day. Bad sad. Dad is very sad. Hop, pop. We all hop on pop. No, Pat, no. Don't sit on that. Is that what you want to read? I want to read the Holy Bible. And maybe if you'd learn how to read and learn some words, maybe you'd be able to read the King James Bible, the correct Bible. And you say, I don't think the King James Bible is right. Well, I really feel sorry for the 300 years of people that only had the King James Bible in the English language. I feel really sorry for all the people from 1611 to 1950 when these new Bibles even started being used. And boy, hasn't our nation become so wonderful since the 50s and 60s and 70s when these new Bibles came out? Haven't we seen a sweeping revival across the nation? Is that why the queers are out of the closet, my friend? Is it because these new Bibles are so wonderful? Is that why you can't even find an old-fashioned hellfire and damnation Baptist church anywhere, hardly in America? Because these new Bibles are so wonderful? Is that why there's 3,000 abortions every day of babies being murdered in America? Is it because the NIV has made such a great impact on our nation? I feel sorry for all the people who lived before 1973 that didn't have an NIV. Because they were using this old King James Bible. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that sad? But you know, people used to love God a lot more back then. People used to read it a lot more back then. People used to be a lot more spiritual back then. Church, independent fundamental Baptist churches used to be a lot larger back then. But no, we must change the Bible and personalize it to our sick, twisted culture in the United States of America in 2007. Do you want a Bible that fits this sick culture that we live in the United States in 2007? You say, I don't think it's sick. Well, then maybe you're sick. And maybe that's why you don't think it's sick. That there's a book that I saw a man in a skirt 3 days ago, again, at the airport, a man wearing a skirt down to his ankles. I saw so many queer couples at the airport in San Francisco when I was there this week on business. They were everywhere. I don't want a Bible to fit this culture. I want a Bible that fits heaven. See, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I'm just passing through this world here. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm looking toward eternity. This life is just a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I want a Bible that fits God's kingdom, not man's kingdom. Don't change the Bible to suit your needs. Why don't you change your needs to suit the Bible? That's what you ought to be doing. But look down, if you would, at James chapter 1, verse 26. I want to show you something. You see, the liberals and the new evangelicals and modernists of our day, this is what they proclaim, and you've heard this before. We don't have a religion. We have a relationship. Who's ever heard that statement before? Put up your hand. We don't have a religion. We don't believe in religion. We have a relationship. It's not religion that saves you. It's a relationship. Well, they're right that it's not religion that saves you. But it's not a relationship that saves you either. It's faith that saves you, believing on Jesus Christ. But look down in your Bible, James 1:26. The Bible reads, if any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Look at James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Isn't that terrible? Isn't religion a terrible thing? Keeping yourself unspotted from the world. Isn't that terrible? Isn't it terrible to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to control your mouth and what you say in your heart? It sounds like religion is a pretty good thing. Look down at your Bible. Does religion look like it's good or bad? James 1, 26 and 27. It looks like it's pretty good. But you see, modern day Christianity doesn't want religion. They want a relationship instead of religion. Why? Because religion involves controlling what you say and what you don't say, according to these verses. You see, religion involves controlling what you sing and what you don't sing. Religion involves you keeping yourself unspotted from the world. You see, they don't want a religion because religion changes the way that you live, and it affects the way that you live your life. They don't want a religion. They just want Jesus to be their buddy. They want a relationship. They want a friend. Now, I'll tell you something. truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Surely we want to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. Absolutely. But you know, religion is what brings you closer to Jesus Christ. Did you know that? If you do these things right here, you will be closer to Jesus Christ. You say, prove it to me, Pastor Anderson. Sure. 1 John. The Bible says, this is the message. It says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him. Now the word relationship is not in the Bible, but fellowship is probably the closest word, you know, fellowship. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, us and God. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, is what the Bible says. And so on and on, we see that God dwells in the light, not in the darkness. Now you may be saved this morning. Anyone who believes on Jesus and puts all their faith in Jesus to save them is born again and saved. But just because you're saved doesn't mean that you have fellowship with God. How are you going to have fellowship with God when you're walking in darkness? Do you think you're going to have fellowship with God walking into the dark place, walking into a bar? Will you fellowship with Jesus Christ in the bar stool? No, you will not. Will you fellowship with Jesus Christ down at the movie theater watching all the filth of Hollywood? No, you won't. You say, but in my personal relationship, I do fellowship with Jesus while I watch the R-rated videos and the PG and the PG-13 and while I watch. I do fellowship with Jesus over a cold beer. I do fellowship with, it's my personal relationship. Your personal relationship is not the relationship that God called for. Your religion is vain. You are not spiritual. You are not religious unless you keep yourself unspotted from the world, it says in James 1:27. Unless you visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Unless you bridle your tongue. Control what you say. Control what you sing. Control what you do. Control where you go. That's religion. That's what's going to bring you into fellowship with God. But see, we've replaced religion. Religion has become a bad word. And now we've replaced it with the relationship. Just have a personal relationship. Oh, all these rules don't matter. Just as long as I have my personal relationship with Jesus. As long as I keep that personal relationship with me and Jesus, that's all that matters. Well, does your personal relationship involve reading God's Word and letting Jesus speak to you? Or does Jesus speak to you in an audible voice? Did He appear to you in your bedroom last night? The way that Jesus will speak to you is through the Bible. If you don't pick up the King James Bible and read the Bible, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. If you're not getting on your knees and praying to Jesus, and it better be the Jesus of the Bible, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And then you don't want to just be a hearer of the Word, because we're in James chapter 1. Just look a few verses up. This is after you're saved, of course, talking to brethren, he says. We just saw pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this. But go up, if you would, to verse 22. But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a new man beholding his natural face in glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth then, therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's the religious man. That's the spiritual man. The man who reads God's Word. He fellowships with God by letting God speak to him through the Holy Spirit, through the pages of the Bible. And then he gets on his knees and speaks back to God. Then he gets off his knees and is a doer of the work. That's the man who's going to be blessed in his deed. That's religion. That's fellowship with God. But religion has been thrown out. Now we just have the relationship. The imaginary relationship with an imaginary God who goes everything our way, anything goes, He doesn't enforce the rules of the Bible, He doesn't care what you do, He doesn't care whether you steal, kill. Isn't it so terrible, all these do's and don'ts like thou shalt not steal? God, you're so restrictive. Thou shalt not kill? Come on. Thou shalt not commit adultery? What? Thou shalt not bear false witness? Come on. These sound like good rules. In fact, they're called commandments, not suggest. Jesus. And Jesus said, if you love me, talk about, shouldn't a relationship, quote unquote, be built on love? Right? Well, didn't Jesus say, if you love me, keep my commandments? Sounds like the do's and don'ts. Sounds like the religion is a big part of the relationship. Isn't that what it sounds like? Well, look down if you... And by the way, let's think about this for a second. Let me just hit on a few points here while we're in James 1, verse 27. Let me say a few words about this, being unspotted from the world. Now, the Bible says in 1 John 2:15, you don't have to turn there, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, let's think about, let's analyze that thought for a moment. Because God says He wants us to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Let me just put it to you this way. I thought about this week, and this is what I came up with. You know, there are some things in this world, I'm talking about that the world produces. Worldly movies. The TV, obviously it comes from the world. The music that comes from the world. Magazines that come from the world. Books that come from the world. I sat down and thought about it, and this is what I came up with, these statements. There are some things that come from the world that I've always known were wrong. Right? I mean, aren't there some things that come from the world that are just obviously wrong? You don't have to wonder, right? I mean, you just look at it and say, of course this is wrong. It's pornographic, it's blasphemous, whatever the case may be. Okay, there are some things, number one, there are some things in the world that I always have known that they were wrong. Number two, there are some things in the world that I used to not understand why they were wrong, like years and years back, but now I understand why they're wrong. Now I've seen it more clearly. Because do I know everything? Did I know everything 10 years ago? No. And so 10 years ago, there were things that I did not understand what was wrong with them. Now that I've gotten a little bit older and wiser, now I see what was wrong with those things. So number one, some things I've always known they were wrong. Number two, some things I used to not know that they were wrong or why they're wrong, but now I'm starting to understand why they're wrong. And then number three, there are some things in the world that I still don't necessarily understand what's wrong with them. Why? Because I don't know everything. Because I am not all-knowing, all-seeing, all-wise. So I don't know everything. So there are three categories. Some things that the world produces that I've always known were wrong. Some that I've learned were wrong over the course of my life, and I'm constantly learning more. And then thirdly, some things that I still don't understand that they're wrong. Therefore, I must believe by faith that everything that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and that it's not of the Father, and it's not of the world. I mean, it's of the world. I must just realize that by faith. You see, if there's some movie that Hollywood puts out and I can't see what's wrong with it, I'm just going to, by faith, realize, hey, if the world put it out, it's garbage. Why? Because I've seen it in my life where I used to not know that things are wrong. Now I see that they're wrong. You got to just believe the Bible, my friend. Come to me after the service and name to me any movie that I've heard of or seen or whatever back in the day. Nothing new, you know, nothing in the last, whatever, 7 years or whatever. But come to me and talk to me about your little Disney movies that you love to show your kids. I'll tell you what's wrong with them. I'll tell you about what they're trying to brainwash your kids. I'll tell you all that. You say, oh, you're crazy. You're out of your mind. I'm not crazy. I mean, anybody can tell you that Walt Disney movies, let me just get off on a tangent here. All right. Walt Disney movies are perverted as hell. Let me just say that to you right now. Oh, you don't like that, do you? Go all the way back. All back as far as you want. Get out your little Beauty and the Beast movie where every girl's got just bulging out of her shirt in her low-cut top. You say, don't talk like that in the pulpit. Don't watch it in your house. Excuse me for pointing out something that's wrong that you have in your house. Beauty and the Beast. That's real godly, huh? Women in love with an animal. Isn't that wonderful? Boy, that's great, isn't it? A woman and an animal falling in love. That sounds disgusting. I don't think there's anything... I just don't see anything fun about that. I think I'm going to go fall in love with an animal. That's disgusting. You know, and then at the end, the animal turns into some long-haired sissy. As if that were any better. You know? But anyway, you know, hey, the Bible says, I'm sorry to confuse you with the Bible, the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 11. How readest thou? On and on through these Disney movies. You know, Bambi, the hunter is the bad guy, of course. You know, the whole Walt Disney, you know, Walt Disney himself said, he said, I like animals better than people. This is what Walt Disney said. That's a great philosophy, isn't it? Can you think with me? I mean, I love animals more than people. That's not a good philosophy to have. You got to love your neighbor as yourself, not love your dog as yourself. Not love, you know, a cow as yourself. Okay, love people. And so the Disney movies, they're all about talking animals. That's every movie. And you say, well, what's the big deal? Because if kids grow up and watch talking animals, for example, somebody just told me recently, a couple weeks ago, they said, you know, the show Dora the Explorer, there's a family on the show that's all of monkeys, but they dress in clothes and they have careers. You say, so what? Well, here's the problem. When you put little Johnny in front of a TV all day, because that's the built-in babysitter, and he watches a bunch of animals dressed and talk like people, then he goes to school when he's five, and guess what the teacher tells him at school? You're an animal. You're a mammal. Right? That, you know that's what they're going to teach him when he gets to school. You are a mammal. You are a primate. I got a call, when I was in San Diego a couple weeks ago, when we were at SeaWorld in the zoo, I got called a primate like 10 times. They're like, we primates, this and that. Unlike us human primates. I'm not a primate. I'm not a monkey. I'm not an ape. I am a human being created in the image of God. I have a soul and a spirit, and I'm made in the image of God. But you put a kid in front of talking animals all day, talking mice, talking rabbits, talking pigs, and then you wonder why they grow up, and then they believe that they came from an animal, and that they are an animal, and then you wonder why they act like an animal. Huh? Then you wonder why they act like an animal in the schools. That's why the school's a war zone right now. Huh? That's why people shack up, and their 13 and 14-year-old kids shack up like dogs and fornicate and sleep around and get pregnant and fornicate, and why? They're like an animal. That's why they have no morals. Go to visit one of these schools. Listen to the kids. Sometimes I'll be driving around, and a school will be letting out. I roll down my window and just listen to the four-letter words pouring out of the mouths of the young people that walk by. In their baggy pants, showing their underwear. Yes, they do. Don't look at me like I'm making that up. They walk down the street shagging and no respect for authority, punks. You know, and that's the ones that have some degree of manner. Then there's these other little sissified little things, and you can't even tell hardly whether it's a boy or a girl. Why? Because we have no religion. Because religion would keep us unspotted from the world. It would tell us, Walt Disney's not saved. He's not a born-again Christian. He didn't love God. Did you know that Walt Disney had his head chopped off after he died? I'm not making this up. Look this up. He had his head removed from his body after he died and put on ice. And it's on ice. Hey, Disney on ice. You didn't know what it was. But anyway, he literally had his head removed. I'm not making this up. He had his head removed from his body and put on ice because he believes that one day they're going to bring him back to life one day. Did you know that? He was into New Age stuff. I mean, he's a weird guy. He's a squirrely guy. I seen some pictures of him when he was a teenager. He looked like a queer. He looked like a girl. Okay, and that was back then. And, yeah, his head is frozen. I forget what city it's in. His head is cryogenically frozen right now because he thinks they're going to bring him back one day with technology. Bring back Walt Disney. We got enough of you the first time, Walt Disney. But anyway, so that's keeping yourself unspotted from the world. What I was trying to say with that is just understand if the world puts it out, it's got an agenda. Whether it's promoting evolution, whether it's promoting false religion, whether it's promoting like a gender bending of boys with long hair, boys dressed like girls, girls dressed like boys, whatever it is, it's going to be a godless agenda. I'll tell you that right now. If it didn't come from God, it's not going to lead you to God. Okay, and that's why I just don't mess with any of it. I'm not going to put my kids in front of that stuff because I don't want them to be perverted when they grow up and think that animals are human being and fall in love with an animal, you know, and fall in love with another man. You know, it's garbage. But if you would turn to 1 Samuel 13, I must hurry with the message here. I'm running out of time. 1 Samuel chapter number 13. I'm not trying to just be shocking or upset you this morning, but you know, something should just be waking you up right now. Maybe this will just wake you up a little bit to what's going on, in case you're not paying attention with what's going on out in the world. But here's another example from the Bible of a relationship versus religion, versus what God teaches, versus what God says universally. These are the rules, absolutes, right and wrong, on, off, hot, cold, heaven, hell. Here's a man who really felt like he could have a personal relationship with Jesus, his way. And this is the man Saul. Look at 1 Samuel 13, verse number 6. And you'll see a story that's very much like the story of Cain in the Bible. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6, the Bible reads, "When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, and the people hid themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, Bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering." Verse 10 of 1 Samuel 13. "And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, What hast thou done?" Does that statement sound familiar? That's the exact statement that God made to Cain. Same, what have you done? Same statement. That statement's not found that many times in the Bible. "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, The Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore, and offered a burnt offering." Now here we see Saul's plight. Samuel is late. Samuel was supposed to meet him at a certain time, offer up a burnt offering, pray to the Lord for his power to win this battle against the Philistines. Well, people are starting to get nervous and scared because this great army of the Philistines is there. The people are starting to scatter from Saul. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how much longer he can hang on. He says, look, we need to get some help from God. We need to get God on our side. Now, does that sound like a good thing or a bad thing? That sounds good, right? He says, we need to get God with us here. Well, instead of just praying to God or waiting for Samuel to get there, he decides that he is going to take it upon himself to take the position of the high priest, which Samuel was the high priest. He was the only one who was supposed to offer up this particular offering. He decided to just do it himself. He decided to be his own high priest. He took an animal, he sacrificed it to God, and as soon as he had made an end of the burnt offering, Samuel came. Just in time to be too late, he shows up. And he tells him, I forced myself. I had to do it. And look what Samuel says in verse 13. "And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." You see, it doesn't matter what Saul's intention was. It doesn't matter how good in his heart Saul was sincere, wanting to please God. He had been given a specific commandment by God, and he disobeyed it. Flip over to 1 Samuel chapter 15. He disobeyed God's command. He was rejected. He said, what have you done? Just like Cain. And you know, this is again symbolic of salvation. Cain's offering was a symbol of working your own way to heaven. Abel's offering was a symbol of the blood of Jesus Christ getting you to heaven. Samuel here is a picture of Jesus Christ being our high priest, according to the book of Hebrews. Saul was being his own high priest, much like people today want to be their own Savior, Jesus Christ, by working their way to heaven. Same exact analogy is here. I'm going to have to skip over this this whole story in 1 Samuel 15 for sake of time, but I want to show you just a few verses at the end after Saul disobeyed God once again. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 15, 22, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" He's saying, wouldn't God be more pleased with you that you obeyed God than that you gave God something that he didn't even ask for, or sacrificed something for God that he didn't even tell you to do? He said, behold, to obey, the latter part of verse 22, is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness, that stubbornness like Cain, where he just refused to do it even after God gave him a second chance. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now I have several more examples, but we see here again, a man whose heart was in the right place, seemingly, yes. Sincere, yes. Wanted to please God, yes. But because he didn't do it God's way, because he didn't do it in God's fashion, because he did it his way, because he did it according to his methods, God was not pleased, and God became angry and actually took him out of his position as being king and raised up David to take his place as the king of Israel. You see, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted for the world. Not only is religion, is it keeping yourself unspotted from the world, because I'm telling you, you can come in here and live your life, and you can be dressed exactly how you're supposed to dress, and you could follow all the rules and not listen to the garbage and not watch all the filth, and you don't do this and you don't do that. You still don't have the full spectrum of God's kind of religion. Because God's religion is not just a bunch of don'ts. It's a lot of do's and don'ts. And so God says, you want pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father? It's to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. This is why modern-day Christianity rejects the term religion. This is why they don't want to follow any kind of a religion. I'll tell you why. Because they don't want to go to the ghetto. They don't want to go to the slum and preach the gospel to every creature. Daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Daily in the temple and in every house. They preach the gospel to every creature. God said to us, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You say, the fatherless, what's the fatherless? Come with me soul winning today in Phoenix in the ghetto. I'll show you the fatherless. The ghetto is filled with the fatherless. The slum is filled with the fatherless. The projects are filled with the fatherless. The downtown Phoenix is filled with the fatherless child. Who's going to love them? Is it Mr. Lovey-Dovey down the street in his fancy car, in his fancy building with his tall church spire? Is he going to love the child, the fatherless child in the ghetto? Is he going to love that the people in the ghetto whose lives are ruined? Is he going to love the people in Tempe who live in nicer areas, but they know not that they're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked because they don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? They don't have salvation. Who's going to love them? Who's going to love the students of Arizona State University? Who's going to love the people who live this direction over here in Phoenix? Who's going to love the people of Tempe? Who's going to love the people of this area? I'll tell you who's going to love them. The religious person. The spiritual person. It's not going to be Mr. Lovey-Dovey nice guy. It's not going to be Mr. Personal Relationship. You see, Mr. Personal Relationship is too busy driving his personal car. He's too busy living in his big personal house. He's too busy feeling all lovey-dovey in his little personal way. He's not obeying the command of God that says to go. Go ye therefore into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. Who's got the love this morning? Is it you? Do you have love in your heart this morning? Because the love in your heart will be evidenced by your following God's command to bring the gospel to a lost and dying world. That's love. Love is when you reach out your hand to that one who's unsaved and they're on their way to hell, and you reach out and pull them out of the fire, as it says in Jude verse 23. Love is when you get the gospel to somebody and get them saved. Love is when you live your life in a clean and godly way that doesn't hurt and harm other people. That's what love is. That's what religion is. That's what God wants. He doesn't desire a hollow, empty shell that you call a relationship, which involves you feeling good, having a feel-good powwow with God in your own little special way. It involves you hearing the Word of God, doing the Word of God, keeping the commandments of the Word of God, and loving the fatherless and the widow in their affliction. Helping people, loving people, loving the people in this church. See, don't come to this church and say, well, what does Faithful Word offer me? What do you have to offer to Faithful Word? I'll tell you what we have for you. You want to know what we have for you? All kinds of people right here for you to love and for you to help and be good to, the people that are in this room. I'll tell you what we have for you. We'll take you and we'll point you and we'll show you a lost and dying world, and we'll teach you how to win souls and get people saved. That's what we'll offer you. We'll offer you work. We'll offer you the Bible. We'll offer you the real, true, and living Jesus Christ alive today in 2007. And the house of God, still strong, still the gates of hell do not prevail against the church, God's house, which he purchased with his own blood. You see, that's what religion is, my friend. That's what the Bible requires. That's what God wants. Number one, better make sure that you're even saved this morning. Better make sure you don't think it's your own good works. You better know that it's all what Jesus did on the cross and that you're eternally saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. But number two, once you're saved, it's not going to be personalized, my friend. It's going to be God's way or the highway. That's the way God wants it. And you know what? You'll never find a more meaningful fellowship. You'll never find a more closer friend than Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be on His terms. And not on you. He's not going to come down to your level. He's going to bring you up to His level, my friend, if you want to get close to Him. And you'll never find, have we so friend a faithful? Who a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer this morning. Father, thank You so much that You're willing to be our friend, that You want to be our friend, that You want to have fellowship with us, that You want to be our friend and our Father, and that You want to be close with us and nigh to us, dear God. Father, help us to realize that if we're going to be close to You and be Your friend, we're going to have to come to the light where You are and not expect You to come to our darkness. Father, please help everyone that's here to let something in the message, maybe just one thing that stuck out to them that they could sink down into their ears, dear God, and bring them closer to You and help them to love You more and to love their fellow man more and to realize that life is not just about them personally, but that there are all kinds of people out there that need to hear the gospel, that need to be saved, that need someone to love them. There are people in this church that need somebody to love them and be their friend. God, help us to do what You want.